Father, we thank you for that we can celebrate moms. And even as we just sang, God, because of you, because you're a good father, you've given us good mothers. We thank you, Father, for those that are here today, and even those that are missing their moms today, God. We just pray that you'll comfort them. Let your Holy Spirit, let them be hugged from heaven today, touched by your Spirit. Let an angel, God, come and just minister to us today. Let your word come alive today. And when we talk about restoration, let each one of us experience, God, something today from your word in the light of restoring something in our lives. We just give you thanks and praise for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Well, they can make you. They can break you. They can put scars on your soul or stars in your heart. A bad one can ruin your life forever. A good one can redeem a life forever. You will frequently rejoice over the good ones, and you will forever regret all the bad ones. What am I talking about? Mothers. Not mothers. Oh, boy, I knew someone was going to say that. I'm talking about decisions. 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 Will you edit that from the I knew that was going to happen. I'm talking about decisions. They can make you mad, bad, glad, or sad. Amen? I read about a man who placed some flowers on the grave of his dearly departed mother, and he started back towards his car, and he saw another man kneeling by the grave, a nearby grave, and the man seemed to be praying real profound, intense prayers, and he kept saying things like, "Why did you have to die? Why couldn't you have lived? How could you have left me in such a predicament? Oh, I'd give anything if I could just bring you back." Well, the first man walked over to him and he said, with sympathy, and he said, I'm so sorry. I don't wish to interfere with your private grief, but this demonstration of pain is something more than I've ever seen before. Who are you mourning for so deeply? Is it your child? Oh, no, 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 no. Is it a parent? Oh, no, 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 no. The man said, well, who is it? He said, my wife's first husband. Now, I know this is bad. Now, that, wait a minute. It wasn't the death of her first husband that caused this man this problem. It was the decision to become the second husband that nailed him to the wall. It was the decision. You got that? And it wasn't a mother. We all face decisions in life. Amen? You're here today because you made a decision to be here. And really, life is just one decision after another. And what King David did in this wonderful verse, he gave us two truths he wants to leave us with. And we want to share those truths. Number one, that God will love us he'll love us enough to correct us when we make the wrong decisions. And two, he'll lead us to make the right decisions. This is what David's trying to get across to us. So you never have to worry about going his way, because his way is literally the right way. It's the right way. So I know that there may be some here today who have gotten off the right road and onto a wrong road. I want to tell you there is hope for you. Maybe there's some here that are at a crossroads and you don't know which road to take. I want to tell you that there is help for you here today. Learn these two tremendous truths that will take care of both your past and your future. That's what we're going to talk about. Number one, I put most of it in your bulletin so you won't have to write too much. When we fall, God lifts us to the place of restoration. Psalm 23, verse 3, the first part says, he restores my soul. Literally, that verse says, he brings me back. That's what it means. He brings me back. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean, he brings me back? Remember, we're, through this whole psalm, we are talking about the relationship of a sheep to a shepherd, right? Through the whole psalm. There are two dangers that sheep face and two dangers that only the shepherd can handle when it comes to sheep. One of those dangers is that sheep will become a cast sheep. C-A-S-T, a cast sheep. Remember when the psalmist said in Psalm 42, verse 11, he says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you cast down?" Now, a Palestinian, even today, would understand the analogy that is given in this verse. He is referring here to a cast sheep, or a sheep that is cast down. What does that mean? What is a cast down sheep? This is an old English shepherd's term for a sheep that is turned over on its back and cannot get up again by itself. I want you to, I'm going to try to create a picture. I want you to picture this in your mind. One of the saddest sights you will ever see is a cast sheep lying on its back, its feet straight up in the air, struggling frantically to stand up, but is in a hopeless situation. Okay? This is the problem that sheep get themselves into, but they cannot get themselves out of. Sheep are built in such a way that if they ever fall on their side and then over on their back with their legs straight up in the air, they cannot right themselves to stand on their feet. So picture this, okay? Here's what happens. Sometimes a particularly heavy or fat sheep will lie down in some hollow or some kind of a depression in the ground. Now, I was going to try to demonstrate this, but I don't want to leave any scars on anybody's mind. So please try to just picture this, okay? All right. I won't do it. It may roll over on its side to stretch or to relax, and suddenly the center of gravity in the body shifts so that it turns over on its back far enough that their feet are no longer on the ground. Okay? This is sad, really. It really is sad. At this point, the sheep becomes very frightened. It begins to kick and flail and bleats and it cries out. It's frightened because it knows that it's open to attacks. Buzzards and vultures and dogs and coyotes and cougars all know that a cast sheep is easy prey. They're just waiting to be killed. And as it lies there on its back struggling, we find that gases begin to collect in their stomach, and those gases expand, and as they expand, it hardens in their stomach, and it cuts off their air supply, their air passage. And if it's hot outside, sheep can suffocate from that in just a matter of hours. Beyond that, blood circulation in the legs is also cut off, and the legs go numb. If the weather is cool or if it's cloudy, a sheep can survive in that agonizing position for several days, struggling to breed. There's not one thing that they can do about their predicament. They need a shepherd to restore their soul. When a shepherd restores a cast-down sheep, he doesn't do it immediately. It takes time to restore that sheep. First, the shepherd will come to that sheep lying on its back with its legs sticking up in the air. The first thing he'll do is he'll begin to massage the legs to get the circulation back into those legs. Then he'll roll the sheep over on its side to relieve the pressure of gases in the stomach. And he begins to talk to the sheep in very reassuring tones to lower the fear factor. Then he very gently puts his hands under the sheep's belly and lifts it up because it cannot stand on its own because its feet are so wobbly. And he'll hold that sheep until the blood flows into the legs again and it begins to get some stability. And finally, the sheep is able to walk on its own and rejoin the fold. What a picture, isn't it? Now, this is a tremendous picture of what God is willing to do for all of us. If you've ever had your soul cast down, if you've ever been knocked flat on your back spiritually, and you're struggling to get back up, God has promised He will come and restore your soul. He'll restore your confidence. He'll restore your peace. He'll restore your strength. He'll restore your joy. In Psalm 51, David wrote about his soul had been cast down by sin in his life. You need to read Psalm 51, the cry out of David, against you and you only have I committed this sin. But in verse 12, David says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. That was David's cry. Don't take this salvation. Don't take the joy from me. Restore to me. So today we might be cast down today by guilt. Maybe by guilt. If that's true, then the good shepherd has a word for you. Here's the word, 1 John 1:9. You know this. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you're cast down by any kind of guilt, take that verse of Scripture and make it your own today. Confess your sins. He's faithful and just. He doesn't care what you did. He knows what you did. He's waiting for you to just confess it. And he's faithful. He's just. He'll cleanse you. He'll forgive you of all unrighteousness. Maybe your soul is cast down by grief. Maybe by grief. If that's so, then you know what? The good shepherd has a word for you too. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says this, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace, even when you're going through grief, my grace, he says, is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So whether you're broken by guilt or burdened with grief, God will restore you. You need to know that. God will restore you. Now, there's another danger for sheep. And that's the danger of becoming a lost sheep. Oftentimes, sheep will begin to nibble on grain and grass, and they don't look up and watch where they're going. They just eat and walk and eat. They just keep walking and eating. That's all they're doing. They take a lot of nibbles. It doesn't take a lot until a sheep wanders off into a field. They're just trying to satisfy their hunger. They just keep on eating. They only have one thing on their mind, and that is the next blade of grass. That's all they have on their mind. Before you know it, that sheep is lost. But what's even worse is they can't find their way home. You know, we know dogs and pigeons and horses, they have some kind of a homing instinct, and they can find their way home. They say a cow will return to the barn, a horse will return to the stable, a dog will return to the house, but a sheep can't even find their way back to the fold. You see, a sheep is not strong like a lion, and he's not swift like a antelope, and he's not smart like a dog. The number one characteristic of a sheep is it is stupid. Sorry. I was going to tell you to turn to your neighbor and say that, but don't do that. You know, I don't want any wars in the church today. But that's it. Once a sheep has gone astray, it cannot find its way back home. Now, that becomes a matter of great urgency that the sheep be restored to the flock. Because, first of all, sheep don't even have a keen sense of smell either. And left to themselves, they'll eat poisonous weeds or they'll drink polluted water and they will die. And furthermore, sheep are defenseless. They're defenseless. They can't defend themselves. Tigers have claws and bears, you know, they crush things and mules kick and snakes strike, you know, whatever. But sheep are defenseless. So it becomes a matter of urgency for the shepherd to find the sheep. You know what the last thing a shepherd does before he goes to sleep at night? You know what he does? Yes, he counts the sheep. That's where that expression, if you have trouble sleeping, What are you supposed to do? Yeah. The death word comes. He does that. And he does more than that. He calls them all by name. And if one of them is missing, what he does is he secures the flock, and then he goes out and finds that one that's lost. Because it's the shepherd's job not only to restore cast sheep to their feet, but to restore lost sheep to the flock. When you're on your back spiritually, or when you wander from your flock, if you belong to the shepherd will come for you, and he will lift you to the place of restoration. If you belong to the shepherd. Amen? We can restore things, can't we? We can restore antiques. We can restore clocks. We can restore cars. We can restore paintings. But only God can restore your soul. Only God. Man has discovered many remedies for sick bodies, but only God can restore a sick soul. There's only one remedy for guilt, one remedy for grief, and that is the grace of the Good Shepherd. Amen? The second thing is that when we falter, God leads us to the path of righteousness. The Good Shepherd not only feeds his flock, he leads his flock. He not only provides for the flock, he guides his flock. He not only protects his flock, he directs the flock. And he leads us to, the Bible says, paths of righteousness. Now, literally, that really says the right path. He leads us to the right path. Verse 3, the second part of verse 3 says, he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. See, whether you know it or not, sheep also have extremely poor vision. Most sheep can only see about 10 yards away. That's why they tend to wander. If you remember what the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 53, verse 6, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. When sheep don't follow the shepherd, they always get off on the wrong path. And now the Palestinian shepherd was a master at reading different tracks. And in the Palestinian desert, there were many marks and paths that crisscrossed in the land. And some were made by wild beasts. Others were made by robbers lying in wait. But to a sheep, every path looked the same. Sheep did not realize that this path could lead to a wild animal, or that path could lead to walking off a cliff. He didn't know the difference. And just like it reminds us in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, where it says, there is a way that seems right to a man. There's a way that seems right to me, but its end is the way of death. But it looks good to me. I'm a sheep, okay? And I need a shepherd. But the good shepherd always leads the sheep on the path to green grass and still waters. We went over that. Again, the verse literally says he leads us to the right paths. A shepherd never guides his sheep to destruction. He never guides his sheep into polluted waters or poisonous grass. He never guides them to fields where food and water are not available. He only guides them into places that are right for them. That's what a good shepherd does. Now, you know what the wonderful thing about this good shepherd is? He always bets 1,000. He always bets 1,000. He never makes a bad decision, never makes a mistake, and he will always guide you to paths that are right for you. And what a path it is. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, listen to this. It says, but the path of the just, he's like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto that perfect day. Wow. Think about it. The path that God will provide you on is a path of no darkness, path of no danger, path of no disappointments. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 28 says this, in the way of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. And even though the sheep have poor eyesight, really, they don't really have to see. as long as they're following the shepherd and are staying in his path. You know, in one sense, we all have bad eyesight. Not in the physical sense, but in the spiritual sense. Because even with the best eyesight in the world, there's one thing that you and I can't see. We cannot see the future. So how can we face an unknown or the unknown future? How do we do that? I read a quote from Corrie Ten Boom. She made this great statement about the future, and she said this, and I quote, "Never be afraid to trust a future you don't know to a God you do know." Boy, does that make good sense, doesn't it? Never be afraid to trust a future you don't know to a God that you do know. Wow. So please understand this next truth and get it into your heart. As long as the sheep can see the shepherd and stay close to the shepherd, they don't have to worry about the future. They are completely safe. That's comforting to me. That's very comforting to me. As long as I stay close to the shepherd, I can see the shepherd. I don't have to worry about the future. I don't have to worry about tomorrow, for it's all in the master's hand. And he's my master. He's your master today. It's all in his hands. But there is only one way the sheep can see the shepherd because of their bad eyesight. There's only one way they can see him, and that is they must stay close to him. Stay close to him. The shepherd can only lead the sheep if the sheep are looking at him and listening to him. Sheep can't follow a shepherd they can't see, and they can't listen to a shepherd that they don't hear. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God, hearing from God's word, hearing from the shepherd. That's what we need to get ourselves to. Why do you think we're asking you to read through the Bible? We want you to hear from the shepherd. Okay? Right now, we said this before so many times. In this very room are invisible television waves inundating this building. You can't see them. You can't feel them. The reason for it is because you do not have a proper receptacle. You don't have something that you can, intercept the signal with. Now, in order to receive God's signal, to be led in the path of righteousness or the right path, to be lifted to the place of restoration, then I believe there are three things that you must do on a daily basis. Very simple things. Here it is. First of all, ask God to give you wisdom. Okay? Ask him to give you wisdom. James chapter 1, verse 5 says this. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So ask God to give you the wisdom to make wise decisions and to correct unwise decisions, okay? So number one is ask God to give you wisdom, okay? Easy. Then ask God to guide your walk. Guide your walk. Look at what it says in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. It says, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. You see that? Now, this verse is not only referring to God telling you which way to go, but also which way not to go. You'll hear that voice when you're about to make the wrong turn, and he'll say, this is the way to walk. This is the way to go. Walk in it. Walk in it. You'll hear that still, small voice. That's the Holy Spirit of God wanting to communicate with you. When you're going to make a decision, you just hear that inner voice. This is the way to walk. See, it's better to ask God to direct your path than it is to correct your mistakes. Take a moment to ask God to direct your walks instead of just correcting all your mistakes. Finally, ask God to guard your ways. Guard your ways. In Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24 says this, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. and see if there are any anxieties in me, and lead me, guide me, lead me in the way that's everlasting. That's what David's cry was. Lead me in the way that's everlasting. And that's what our prayer is today. We want to ask God for wisdom. We want to ask God to guide us in our walk and guard us as we walk in our ways. I want to tell you a story as the worship team comes back and we get ready to receive our morning offering. A mother in California told a story about her 3-year-old son who was literally on her heels wherever she went throughout the house. She was having trouble doing her routine chores because her little one would just walk right behind her. Any mother ever have that little one right behind you, no matter where you went? Yeah. She said whenever she stopped to do something and turn around, she would trip over her little boy. Several times she suggested fun activities to keep him occupied, but he would just smile and say, "That's all right, Mommy. I'd rather be here with you." She said that little boy followed her around for hours. After a while, her patience finally wore thin, and she said, "Son, why do you keep following me so closely?" The little boy said, "Because, Mommy, my Sunday school teacher told me to walk with Jesus, walk in Jesus' footsteps, but I can't see him, so I'm walking in yours." I thought, how appropriate for Mother's Day. You know, I'm told to walk in Jesus' footsteps, but I can't see him. You know why the shepherd leads us? It's for his name's sake. That's what the last part of that verse says. It's for his name's sake, that his name might be glorified. That's why he leads us in the right path. Do you know why we ought to make sure that we're in the path of righteousness? Why we should make sure of that? It's for his name's sake, that we might bring glory and we might bring honor to him. That's why he wants us to be on the right path. The shepherd has one job. That's to lead the sheep. The sheep have one job, and that's to follow the shepherd. Hmm. And we do it all for the glory of his name, knowing that his way is always the right way. Mm-hmm. You say amen?
Amen.
Happy Mother's Day.
Amen.
Let's all stand together.